Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com get every day. Readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com are constantly provided the information that detail the real news between the lines of propaganda about government policies and the true relationship we all have with coercive governments. Learn the true condition of our economy, innovations and technological breakthroughs in energy, health, computer science, and space travel. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media, the media that is so last century. Corporate media has evolved into nothing more than distributors of government propaganda, but we now have a fantastic alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com provides constant news updates on the issues that affect our lives in the most important ways. Our liberty and our property are under constant attack, and FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda while encouraging the participation of our readers. Join us at FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com, where the revolution between the ears has already moved. Toured.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
No fear here. Declare your independence with me, Ernest Hancock, each and every day on the Liberty Radio Network.org, LRN.org. You know, I'm sorry, LRN.FM, LRN.FM. Don't get mad. Now, what I wanted to do today is I wanted to get Jack on. We planned on scheduling him since Christmas, and the reason was is that I was able to get his entire story, or a lot, I mean, in detail, hours that we did in previous interviews. And the reason that was important to me is because I understood the role that he and a lot of people that supported him played in the original awakening of kind of this, you know, the militia movement. You know, that's when they started the administration, Clinton administration. Oh, heck no. And they came after like just a cast a wide net and went after any and everybody that was in any opposition. And oh, my goodness, they believed in gun rights. So is he representative of a lot of the dissent out there and everything? Yeah, a segment of it. You know, I mean, they have their own. They're a different generation. But they had a lot to share with us, and they sent us on the path to at least get a lot of information that we normally wouldn't have. They would focus on things like the, you know, Council on Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Commission and the Bilderberg and all this stuff that you hear on a lot of the, you know, like Alex Jones and Renz and a lot of people that are talking about the things that, you know, who's doing it and all that. I came at it from a little bit different perspective. Libertarians were of a different mind. They're like, yeah. And if it wasn't them, it'd be somebody else. Now, it's always the collective versus the individual. Now, that's why a lot of these movies are so popular. You know, Matrix and Braveheart and Gladiator and all that kind of, and V for Vendetta. The popularity that you can tell by the box office receipts is that people always are supportive of the individual against the state. So I'm going, all right. You know, I was more in line with libertarians. And There was a bridge there, a lot of it, with Dr. Paul. So you would have, when I'm emceeing large events and so on in Washington, the West Capitol Lawn, we're doing woohoo, you know, Jack McClam is often a speaker there because he represented a large segment that still believed the contract, this social contract that I never signed. I mean, I don't remember signing it, you know, and it's, you know, heck, not even my parents or grandparents. I mean, it's like people kind of way removed I may be related to enslave me on this plantation thing. So I'm going, you know, and that's why I want to make it clear, you know, my position on this. I'm going, look, me and the Constitution, I can see what was the attempt. It was to put us on a plantation. The Declaration of Independence is different. It's going, look, man, if you're going to be
having a government at all, the only justification for it is the defense of individual rights. When it becomes destructive of that end, it's time to alter or abolish. I vote abolish. Alter is just, you know, another 20 years to be right back where you started. So I'm not really a threat to anybody. I'm not going to be, you know, defending against or collectivizing or having, you know, the compound or any of that kind of crap. You know, I just want to be left alone. I'm just going to go hide. You know, I just want to be able to go anywhere in the world and hide. Space, I'm going to go hide because it's going to get messy. You know, I mean, don't think – when I first started doing my program – I remember I had a lot of listeners, and they would we'd take a lot of phone calls, you know, because it's local and so on. And we'll start doing that when we move. We'll start doing the phone call thing more. But, you know, what would happen was they go, Ernie, yeah, you know, we'll follow you in the – we're going to – and yes, and what are you – I'm going, whoa, freaking whoa, man. Don't ever think I'm going to take tip of the spear on this thing. Don't ever think I'm going to be leaving. By the time it starts to happen, I'm on the Lone Prairie somewhere. You know, you're lucky I'm even showing, telling you what's up, because I know how many minds can I free. The more people that know what's going on, the better off I am. Economically, it's like why we have been pushing Porter Stansberry and Associates stuff on Freedom's Phoenix, you know, most important day in America's history in 50 years thing. We just right now are saying we signed up for his newsletter, okay? I get a lot of stuff. It's probably 40, 50 articles. Sierra's been putting them in, and we've been accumulating them, and we just sent out the first batch. Like, if you're subscribing to Freedom's Phoenix, you're going to get it here in a little bit. I mean, like, if you're not already, and it's in the process of dispatching now. And it's like, here's the information for you to save yourself. There are a lot of, you know, people have a lot of their income, their savings, and their pensions, and their 401ks, and their IRAs, and whatever the heck social and economic engineering of your money into a bucket they're going to take or already took. So, how do you extricate from that? How do you get it over into something? What's a good, you know, segue into what? You know, do I just go into gold and silver ETFs or something? Is that's one way of doing it. You know, I just take the penalty and cash out and go whatever. You should have done that when. You know, silver is at 17. How many times do I scream in that, you know? So this is, you know, where are we at? Where we're going? It's going to happen really fast. We have a story on Freedom's Phoenix today. It is, God, who did it? I can't remember. They were quoting out of the Russian Times that Gerald Celente was saying 2011 is the year of the libertarians. And he's not talking the party or any of that stuff. He's talking about individuals, youth around the world, becoming of a like mind using the internet, and they're just going, we see what the problem is. It's them. It's this banking, central control, homogenized earthling you worship whatever we say you do because Fox News said. Now, I see where this is going, and so does he, and so do a lot of other people. I want you to be able to survive this thing. Breathing in and out. That's it. You keep doing that. In the end, we'll be okay. You know, and hopefully you can keep your mental faculties about you and your physical. But that's one thing we didn't talk about. Yesterday, I started doing P90X. My wife had done this, and she is. And when my oldest daughter got married, we were like, you know, she looking good. You know, I was like, ooh, you know, so I got my 50th birthday coming up in March. So it's not going to be the over the hill party. It's going to be top of the hill party. And I'm going to be all purdy and everything because I want to make sure that people understand how important and how seriously I take this. So starting yesterday, you know, we're going to get in shape. I'm going to be purdy on 50, you know, just because, you know, why not? I am very concerned that we're going to be in a situation to where there's not going to be anything that we can do about anything other than just survive the carnage that's going on around us and try and keep it away. Don't count on me. Go blazing any trail against the man. Now, Jack is talking. Jack McLam, those up in Idaho, you know, they bring it to us. You know, we're going to bring it back. Heck, I don't want them to bring it to us. I'm just going to hide. You know, just, you know, I'd be whatever. And why would they come after me? I mean, I'm love, man. You know, I don't want to replace them. Let them be there. They can stay there as long as they can hold out. I just don't think they can hold out very long. Am I allowed not to care? I don't want to. I don't care. I'm more worried about, you know, growing stuff and raising chickens. Got chickens. You know, that's what you need. You know, a lot of people got chickens. You know, just people. Well, of course, they listen to the show and they watch Freedom's Phoenix and they, you know, we talk and so on. So a lot of people I know, they've been trying this thing. It's simple and it's cheap. You can buy them for a couple bucks. They start laying in 4 or 5 months. I got free eggs. You know how much a dozen organic eggs cost? And I know what they eat. You know, they eat the pulp from my juicy. That's another thing. So I'm feeling better. I'm feeling probably years younger, just with nutrition over the last year. But now I'm going to get my body in shape. I got my mind going right, I think. So we're going to be working on that. Now, when we come back, I'm going to be playing a little bit of Meredith Whitney on, you know, here comes this, you know, municipal bond thing. They're freaking out, CNBC. She gives them what for. We'll go through that. And then I want to read to you what Larkin Rose had to say. Oh, they didn't like that. You stay tuned. Got a good show still ahead.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. With me, Ernest Hancock. Yeah, we just saw the promotional email that we sent out with all the stuff from Porter Stansberry. There's something wrong with the dispatch link, so we're getting that done. We'll resend it real quick or get the links fixed, because I wanted you to have this information. If you don't start preparing yourself financially right now, everything that you have denominated in U.S. dollars is going to be worth less, to the point that it will be worthless. I don't know, how am I supposed to yell it really loud, or how do I break through? I mean, what am I supposed to do? You know, I've been telling you all this for years. Every time we see silver going up, I tell you, you know, try to inspire you with, you know, it's stocking stuffers for my kids. We start accumulate whenever we have time and the resources. We find out about, you know, junk silver, which is this silver coins that are 90% silver, U.S. minted coins, 64 and earlier. We find out that now you can get it, well, I don't know what it is today, but in the last couple of weeks, you could get it for only 50 cents over spot, where for rounds, you're paying up to $3 over spot. So I'm making $2.50 right there just buying the junk silver, and it's recognized as what it is. It's 90% silver. So, I mean, I share these things with you. It's at 17. 17, I said, look, man, it's going to go by past 20. It's going to blaze by 20. Boom, goes by. I go, the sky's limit. It hits 30. I go, you know, and then it comes back. Oh, it's 26. Then back up to 29 something. You know, I'm just going, I don't know how I can emphasize this. You go to freedomsphoenix.com and you see the most important day in America in 50 years. Click on that. Watch the video. I mean, it's a long video that Porter did. But it's, you know, just history, why they're thinking the way they are. How are they able to make a lot of money, maintain and enhance their portfolio during these kind of times? Because a lot of the people that I know that have resources, people that are, you know, supportive, people that, you know, Ernie, what the hell are you doing still in the United States of America? You know, these people, a lot of them made their money when this happened in the late 70s and early 80s. If you know what's coming, well, you know what stocks to sell short. You know what commodities to buy long. You know what's high and low and what to look at. And certainly these people do, and they're sharing it for free. And then they got subscriptions to different newsletters you want to continue and whatever. But what I've got over the past month, I got on their list, I just jacked it. Now put it up and send it to you and say, look at what they've been saying over the last month. If you did what they were saying just in the last month, how much money would you have made or at least retained? You don't think it's important? You will. You so freaking will. And if you don't have a lot of resources, you better be buying beans and rice. Food. 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 And then to protect it by hiding it, putting it safe, I don't know, guns, ammo, whatever it takes. You know, to be secure for your family, because then you're going to be dependent. You're going to come knocking on Ernie's door. Hey, Ernie, can I have? No. You know, guess what? You're behind the line after my kids and grandkids. Get it? Get it? So what am I supposed to do? I share this with you, and I'm dead serious. This is going to get really bad really fast. Portugal debt is not being accepted by Swiss banks anymore. That's going to be a cascading effect. You watch. And then it's going to be Spain and Italy. And so it's, you know, we got to have the world, though. We're going to have bank holiday. You know, they don't even know. They're still, the banks are still
just some of the articles in Freedom's Phoenix. Jack Gregson does a great job keeping you informed of what's going on. Are you paying attention? What he's saying is the banks are still showing accrued interest on bad mortgages. They got a loan out there on their bank, but nobody's paying their payments, their mortgage payments, but they're still showing the accrued interest on that mortgage as an asset, as an increasing asset. Look, man, we're doing fine. We're good. Look at all this money that we're making, all that's due us that nobody's going to pay. And it keeps going up, you know, because of the interest that they're compiling and showing it as an asset. Someday that's going to go away. Someday it's going to be shown for what it really is. Someday. What legislation they pass? You know, yeah, well, they'll just pass something. Yeah, probably. And any and everything that they do will devalue the dollars that you have accumulated in whatever. If you got stuff denominated in U.S. dollars, you're done. It's already been happening over the past year. Get out of the U.S. You know, how much of a genius do I got to be to know that? I'm not. I don't. It's just, you know, it's just duh stuff. Duh. So when this happens, and it's had friends, you know, people that I know, I'm close to, smart people, you know, people you think would know better. They're like, well, because they're a little bit more educated. You know, I mean, people, and you know who you are, you know, a little more educated. They know what's going on. They go, yeah, well, I thought I had more time. You know, it would have been, you know, right, I should have, but I thought that there was going to be more. And I was looking, and I watched Fox News or something. Whatever it was that prevented them from pulling the trigger. Yeah, but I could have lost something. You know, the stock market's up 11,700 and something now. So, an inflated dollar, what does that really mean? Even just the past few years, what's it really at after you take out inflation? So do whatever you're going to do. I just want to make sure that you understand this. I did everything I could to warn you what was coming. How much of an obligation do I have? When you come knocking on the door, Ernie, I need help. What did I tell you I was doing? I'm helping myself and my family, my friends. And you're lucky. I'm opening up my life to you. I tell you everything goes on, all the parties we have. Here's my address. We're moving over here. We're getting ready for that. You know, we're doing this. You know, these are the kind of things that I share with you because, you know, I love humanity. You know, I want to make sure that we all survive this thing. You know, I don't get any pleasure in saying I told you so. You know, matter of fact, I get angry. I said, you know, why do I even have to tell you I told you so? You know, this is, and I'm loading up the Meredith Whitney piece here. Because I want you to understand how bad this really is. There is no stopping it. And anything they do to stop it is just going to make it worse. Well, it's a lot worse. This shooting thing in Tucson, man, it's just, you know, the timing, it's just, ew. You don't know what they have planned and how this is going to affect anything and why they're going to whatever. You know, I'm so concerned that we're going to be in a position that we can't fix. I think we're already there. Now, let's go ahead and play this. I want to make sure we share this with you. Pull this up. All right, give it what for? Go for it.
Let's get some parting shots from our guest host, Meredith Whitney, the founder and CEO of Meredith Whitney Advisory Group. Meredith, we've had some people who have been writing in today, and some of the guys who are with you 100% on this are in the bond pits. Kevin Ferry, who wrote in that, yes, one of the huge problems he sees out there are the rescheduling, which essentially is a default, even though Moody's doesn't count this as a default. He says that you are looking at something, no one's even asking for the money, it's gone, not even a complaint, and this can't continue.
I agree, right?
The bond market vigilantes, those are the people who could change all of this and who could say, you know, look, we see what's happening out there. We're not going to allow it to continue. Rates start to skyrocket, and that could be what eventually kind of catches this and makes it come home to roost.
Well, I think you're already seeing that in the municipal space. So spreads have widened, continue to widen. You've seen outflows from muni bond funds, and that will, I think...
Get it? We're going to get into it and play the rest of it when we come back because you've already starting to see it. The municipal bond, she predicted this in 60 Minutes, what I've been talking about, and she predicted the housing thing. Gerald Celente predicted stuff. Peter Schiff predicted stuff. They're always laughing at you. La, 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 right up until they're not. And where do you wind up? Poorer? Don't get poorer. We'll finish this when we come back.
And now, live. from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona. We're going to get right back to Meredith Whitney on CNBC this morning. This morning. You know, they're trying to, this Mooney Bond thing. We got to, and it, all the evidence is coming out. What she's saying is happening. Yeah, but all they need is the perfect cheer. You know, that's what CNBC does. They're trying. All right, let's go ahead and get to it.
And catches this and makes it come home to roost?
Well, I think you're already seeing that in the municipal space. So spreads have widened, continue to widen. You've seen outflows from muni bond funds. And that will, I think that will accelerate towards June as state finances deteriorate.
Is that when we get an idea of their budgets and we really see things?
Yeah, and you also see the end of federal stimulus as well. So I think the rubber will really hit me the road then. And that will force, you know, higher cost of borrowing forces a lot of change. So,
can a surprisingly strong bull market in equities rescue them in any way? If pensions have made these assumptions about returns, if they are surprised on the upside, does that take any of the pain away, or is this
a tricky thing? So February is a critical month for state data because the Pew Institute, which covers all the pension funds across the nation, that data comes out. So the data is going to look really bad. The data for underfunded pensions is going to look so much worse because remember the data that we have now on a national basis doesn't incorporate the fall of 2008, right? It's June fiscal years for states. It's a majority of June.
Okay. I want to pause it there for a second. What did she just say? The data that they have been getting and the only thing that was available, and this is a big problem that Meredith Whitney had in going and looking for state data, is they didn't have any. And whatever they did have, they had in June 2008 before the big crash, before the TARP, before all the government intervention, before. Nothing since then. It comes out, and they got to evaluate all these pension funds and say, oh, it's underfunded, it's not this, it's bankrupt, blah, 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 blah. When does that come out? February. Are you ready by February? And if you said right now, I want to move and change and cash out and do whatever, you know, do you got 30 days, 60 days before you can do it? Can't do it? You know what? You see my point? Now, not later, now. Now. All right, let's go ahead and finish this up.
So that's going to look really bad. But the states are tricky. They do it on a three-year rolling average basis. So they'll be blended to some point. Certainly, the Fed and everyone else thinks rising stock markets solve all problems. It helps. I don't know that it solves all the problems. But the average return assumption for pensions is 8%.
Right. Which you think is ludicrous.
It's ludicrous. So, I mean, I'd love to, like, if that's a pension fund, I want to invest. But sadly, those are not the returns.
Yeah. What do you make of these SEC inquiries and investigations and suits about disclosure and how that's going to actually change the way these bonds are marketed?
I think that is fantastic because the level of disclosure is horrible. And the level of disclosure is so bad in terms of the information is so lagged, so dated, that you're raising money today and your data is 2+ years old. So it's I think that it's such a great step in the right direction, but you're coming from a very low bar. The disclosure is worse than anything I've ever seen. And so more disclosure is still maybe like baby steps.
How does an investor tell? I mean, this is a complicated, complex market. How do you know when you're seeing a good municipal bond versus a bad one?
You got to do your own homework, right? Mm-hmm. So a lot of people historically have invested in terms of yield and duration, and there's got to be a little more homework done. You know, a lot of portfolios are based on those very simple parameters, and New York residents buy New York bonds for tax advantage status, and that's kind of where they leave it. But homework will do you right here.
Do you want your research to affect the broader debate about austerity in a certain way? Do you want constituents to hear your message and think, wow, all right, so my municipality is going to be making some cuts. I'm going to have to live with that?
My primary goal is to make my clients money.
Sure.
And this was something that I thought beyond that, if I was so desperate for this information, I surely thought other people would be desperate for this information. And so that's why we published it on a broader basis. That's why we raided the states. That's why we put so much time and energy as a financial rooted firm to do this analysis.
So you're saying it's a little out of the box for you?
Well, out of the box for over 2.5 years of working on it, I don't feel it's that out of the box because it's so core to everything we do. Our state, our banks are very much involved in state economies. And so I feel like so fundamental to what we do as opposed to me talking about transports might be out of the box, but not
that you make your clients money with this is the thesis that you brought up at the beginning of the hour, where you said, okay, this is going to create some dislocations in prices. Where prices skyrocket, people look at all municipal bonds as bad things, and that's a buying opportunity.
That is not, like, the way we make our clients money on this call is a long-term structural thesis of where to invest, what states, if you're investing in a business in a state that's going to underperform, have subpar economic growth, and is going to raise taxes, and is going to cut programs, that's a riskier investment. So this extends beyond financials to an entire portfolio strategy, and this, our report is 600 pages, we update it all constantly, it's a desk reference for total U.S. investment.
For everything you're looking
at.
And you're saying that by June, we should know whether or not your thesis is going the right way or the wrong way.
Every day, my thesis is validated. Every day.
Yeah. Taxes yet last night in Illinois?
Taxes in Illinois. What's going on in Indiana in terms of reversing statewide policy in terms of municipalities declaring bankruptcy? Every single day it's validated.
How about, can we get you to make a big, broad market call on equities?
Another one?
Yeah.
No.
Come on.
I've given you all I got.
Switch gears one last.
You're not going to do that, I guess, right?
Well, I mean, ask me something specific, a broad market call. I mean, people want to feel good right now. I don't think that a bear scenario is going to be validated on the U.S. economy for a couple months now, right? For a couple months now, right?
Come summer, the bear scenario is back.
Come late spring, yeah.
But it wouldn't surprise you to see this rally continue to build some speed in the first half of 2011.
I don't see the first few months of 2011. I don't see anything to derail it.
What's your road bump that's gonna stumble us?
I don't think the consumer has enough gas in his or her tank to keep spending.
Once stimulus runs out and the consumer...
Payroll tax going to fade?
Yeah, but look, the payroll tax is mitigated by just what Illinois did, right? It's like, you can't get so far. I mean, it's very hard for me to come up with a bullish scenario, 4% GDP scenario, when I add up all the component parts. And again, the obvious issue on unemployment and the obvious issue of the coastal states are too big of a component to the U.S. economy, and they're going to underperform.
Thank you for coming in, as always. Provocative, interesting. Thanks to Andrew.
Yep. You're starting to get it. I mean, they're going on record. We're going on record. Everybody going on record. This is what's going to happen. One thing that's interesting that she brings up is she said, February, this 2 years worth of data that we've been operating on, and we know it's a lot worse than what they're saying. State legislatures know it too. State legislators know it. We've discussed this. I've talked to some. You think we don't know? Now also think about this. Property valuations have plummeted. What they did is they were making some cash. They were making all kinds of cash when the value of property started going up here in Arizona during the 2005.5, 2006, 2007. And all of a sudden, most of 2008, and then the bottom fell. That meant a bunch more, all the transaction fees, all of the actual increase in valuations, the assessor's office, and what they got. You owe us more money. Property taxes. What do you get on a foreclosure? What do you get on a bankruptcy? What do you get when somebody's not paying? What do you get when you have to devalue them? And then what do? Do you increase the rate? Of course you do. You think that's going to get you more money. It's over. What are you doing about it?
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
the heat is on. The heat is on here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the beautiful studios of Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com. Make sure you go there. You know, this is, do I have time? I see how fast I can read this. This is what I wanted to do. We have Larkin Rose wrote a an article that we put up. My wife, you know, Donna, she doesn't often say, you know, you got to read, you got to, did you read, you should read. And I, you know, I like Larkin's stuff, and I sat down to read it, and I go, ooh, we're going to put that back up on the top. Now, let me go ahead, and I'm going to read it real fast. It's about the Gifford shooting, and this is, I'm going to see if I can get it in real quick, because I think I want to get it in the archive. He's not advocating for any violence or anything. In fact, he's against that. The point that he's making is that, you know, what makes him so special? I mean, you know, I'm just going to read it. The Gifford shooting, unpleasant truth. Let me start with a disclaimer. I say what I mean. If what I actually say offends you, and for a lot of people it will, then you probably need offending. But don't bother being offended at things I didn't say, but which you imagine I meant. If I meant it, I would have said it. Here we go. The national news is full of reports of the shooting of Gabrielle Giffords. Considering how inconsistent the reports have been, even from the beginning, I don't know what happened or why. Maybe I never will. Whether the guy was simply a loony, whether there was some political motive, whether it was another false flag propaganda stunt, which wouldn't surprise me a bit, I could only guess. And since my guess would be essentially worthless, at least right now, I won't bother. Instead, I want to quickly address several things about the way in which a story has been reported in the media. Be warned. When there has been bloodshed and death, people get emotional, and bluntly discussing literal realities upsets people. Tyrants specialize in manipulating emotions in order to defeat reason and understanding. That's why stating the truth is most important when people don't want to hear it. So, here it goes. The death of Mrs. Giffords was not a huge national tragedy, any more than the hundreds of other murders that happened the same day. Mrs. Giffords was not a great public servant. In fact, she was not a public servant at all. She was not serving you or me or anyone else other than the elite ruling class. She did not represent the people. She was a member of the parasitic American ruling class. She was not working for the people. What she did, along with her fellow political parasites, was use the threat of violence to subjugate, control, and extort the general public. Like every other member of Congress, she produced nothing of value, neither product nor service. As a legislator, her entire job consisted of coming up with new ways to use the coercion of law to forcibly control you and me, and use the products of our efforts to serve the agenda of the parasite class. Did she mean well? How should I know? And frankly, I don't particularly care. As far as I can tell, Hitler meant well, and so did many of the thugs who carried out his megalomaniacal ideas. Did that make him good? Did that make it a national tragedy when he died? No. The tragedy was that a human being could ever imagine that forcibly subjugating the human race is the only way to make a better society. Whatever her intentions, it was a bigger tragedy that Mrs. Giffords ever became a member of the professional criminal class than it was that she was shot. If I ever suddenly decide to embrace the love of dominion and seek to use brute force to dominate and subjugate innocent people, I hope someone does me the favor of shooting me. Notwithstanding the fact that legal thuggery, extortion, aggression, and violence is hidden under many layers of euphemisms, rhetoric, and propaganda, the blunt truth is that Gabrielle Giffords is or was a professional bully and parasite. What lawmakers do is enact laws, and laws are neither suggestions nor requests. They are commands backed by threat of violence. Obama's CommieCare, for example, for all the fluff and BS that was used to promote it, was, like all laws, a threat of violence. However complicated and convoluted it was, essentially what it did was tell doctors, patients, insurance companies, and others, you must do this and you may not do that, and prescribe forceful retaliation against any who were caught disobeying. That's what every law is. As a mental exercise, try making up a law for yourself, make up a law yourself that is not a threat of violence. You will fail. Politicians do not serve the public or represent the public. They forcibly dominate, control, and extort the public. Despite all the patently inaccurate rhetoric about public servants, representative government, another status dogma, which will be the subject of upcoming videos, the relationship of every government to its subjects is a master-slave relationship. They tell you what to do, and they take your money. And if you resist, they send men with guns to hurt you. To think they're doing that for your benefit is insane. With that in mind, perhaps the most telling statement in all the reports of the incident were the comments of another parasitic tyrant, John Boehner, Republican, now President of the Senate, or Speaker of the House, who said that acts of threats of violence against public officials have no place in our society. Wow, the hypocrisy is astounding. Everything, absolutely everything, that Boehner, Giffords, and every other member of the parasitic ruling class do constitutes threats of violence, often against you. Try disobeying one of their laws. If you don't believe me, just go and try it. Yet they become outraged if one of their victims does to them what they do to millions of people on a daily basis. Incidentally, Boehner also said, an attack on one who serves is an attack on all who serve. That one sentence, all by itself, with the lies it implies and the psychosis it exhibits, deserves its own article. Am I suggesting that people go out and shoot the politicians? No. Even if it were justified, it wouldn't result in freedom. If anything, it would only serve as an excuse for authoritarian control freaks to increase their power and further infringe on the liberty of others. You can already see the push towards this in the aftermath of the shooting of Giffords. As much as I bash the God-complex parasites who infest D.C., the individual politicians are not the real problem. The real problem is that the victims of the tyranny continue to imagine it to be legitimate. When thuggery and aggression are cloaked in pseudo-religious political rituals, as long as the people bow down at the altar of government, getting rid of one parasite by vote or by bullet will accomplish nothing, as a new parasite will step right in. On the other hand, when the people outgrow their superstitious addiction to authority worship, no election or revolution will be needed to remove the parasite class. Government exists only because the people imagine that it exists. When the people rid themselves of their status indoctrination and see reality for what it is, the parasite class will be ignored out of existence. On that note, I can't resist mentioning the release of the most dangerous superstition. If you think that the people in power are the real problem and that another election or even a revolution is a solution, I implore you to read the book. You might find that your own beliefs and assumptions and your own perceptions and actions are feeding the beast that you fear, the beast that is eating you. Larkin Rose. Yep, the most dangerous superstition. The most dangerous superstition is this concept that, well, you know, he pulled the sword from Excalibur. He must be my ruler. There's a scene from Monty Python, The Search of the Holy Grail, where the King Arthur comes upon some peasants and says, I am your king. And he goes, yeah, well, what made you that? You know, we don't have a king here. And he goes into an argument, and it's funny. See, I'm being oppressed by the, you know, monarchy or whatever. And it was a very instructive of, you know, this was in the 70s that this movie came out. People have been saying these kinds of things for a long time. Larkin's really good at it. He's the author of the book, The Iron Web. And in that whole book, the whole point is that we just have voluntary and even often temporary alliances with each other and certainly commerce. You know, just because I buy something from somebody doesn't mean I become their best friend. You know, this is, it's over. It's done. And what he demonstrates is that, you know, they talk, they want to build up. I was watching a football game Monday. It was the national championship of somebody versus somebody. I think it was Auburn, Oklahoma, whatever it was. And what happened was, I'm sitting there watching this, and in the beginning, all of the military uniforms, all of the pomp and circumstance, all of this patriotism, all of this, you know, America beautiful and singing Star Spangled and a big and giant American flag that took over the entire football field, covered with an American flag. Oh, they're trying really hard, don't you think? Yeah, I think so. They want to keep you on the plantation. The revolution's up here. It's between the ears. Take advantage of it. All you got to do is declare your independence. I declare my independence.
This is Ernest Hancock. I'm publisher of FreedomsPhoenix.com and the radio talk show host of Declare Your Independence. Now, I want to give you my personal endorsement of a wealthy U.S. citizen that is predicting that in 2011, we will witness the most important day in America in more than 50 years. He's produced a video for you. It's a real eye-opener, and I want to make sure that you have an opportunity to watch it. www.endofamerica1and7.com. Endofamerica17.com. This video has the history of how we got where we are now and where we're going and why. Now, it's a lengthy video. It'll be about 20 minutes, but you need to watch this so you understand what's going to happen to this country and how you can protect your wealth and even benefit financially. Now, you go there. It's free. I want you to watch this video. You need to have this information so that you can survive the economic collapse that's coming to America. It's not if, it's when. That's End of America, the numbers 1and7.com. After you watch it, you'll understand why I endorse